I'm picking up from where I stopped last week, and to refresh your your mind, we are starting a new series of Kings, and there will be lessons we will learn as we read the Word of God. So here we have an old king who is ailing, and of course he, now there is a question of proper transition of power. And we have seen how the king, even he didn't know what to do. He was not even keeping warm. And so they brought this virgin to him to serve, which she did, Abishag. She did a good job. And because the Bible says this girl served King David, waited on him. But the king didn't have any intimate with her. And we have seen how this lady was brought to tell us that because we will see the struggle, the power and sex and money in the desire of Adonijah to succeed, to become the king on his own accord. There was no any arrangement. So that was what we touched on last time. And yet the Lord God was watching, and he was keeping his eye on the covenant he has made with David, and that no one just like will snatch the power like that. So we concluded that even though David made really terrible mistakes, God's grace was sufficient. God hurt him a few times, and Bathsheba will be a great example for us how God has worked by his grace to sustain David and also to keep his dynasty, and to have his children made kings after him. Tonight, what I want to do with you is, after Adonijah has made himself a king without the knowledge of his father, and now there is a move to counter that move, and that is through the prophet Nathan. Prophet Nathan, a faithful man of God. And so this man was praying and was hearing God, and perhaps the first mention of Nathan was back in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7. That was when we first come and encounter this man. He just appeared. There was no any preparation for him to become the king, the prophet after Samuel. So this man, of course, he served God well. Now that in chapter 1, we start there. So after the king was settled in his palace, so King David having come after the death of Saul, and now he's the king. So he settled in his palace, that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. So he said to himself, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." So here what happens is, Nathan, even as a prophet also, God was gracious, because he just jumped to say to the king, "Do what you want to do," and yet he was corrected. Again, God told him, it's not the case. It's not, go tell my servant David that you are not the one to build me. And so the eyes of the Lord and his will was for Solomon to become the king, isn't it? So whatever the Lord has planned, so no, nothing in between, even if it's looking like close, really to make it impossible, it will come forth. It will come forward. So that is what happens. And actually, even in Chronicles there, they will mention that David actually promised Bathsheba that his son Solomon will become the king, will succeed him. And here now it's looking like it's lost. And now he's making the king unreliable in his oath, which is not really right for the king of Israel, a godly man or a man under God's covenant. But through God's grace and mercy, David was spared that mistake. And so he came to his senses gained more strength, and now he is able to oversee the transition of power. So now we have Nathan talking to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, telling him, telling her that now there is something. Adonijah is making himself now a king, and he didn't invite 4 key people. Very important. This is one of the points I will focus on for a short time. So this man, he knew that these 4 people, Nathan and Solomon and this man, Benaiah, so they will not really join. And Bathsheba, of course. So Nathan went to Bathsheba and told her that there is something like this, and now all that you need to do now, you go to the king and just tell him that there is something happening. When you have promised that my son will be the king. And now he said, go in, and then after that I come in, and then there will be, I will confirm that. That is what he said. I will confirm that. So confirmation was very important. So now, what is the thing? Bathsheba was told, now then, when she was told that this is the case, now then let me advise you how you can save yourself. You can save your own life and the life of your son. Let me advise you on how to save your life and the life of your son. I believe we need people like this in our lives. We need a person who can advise us to escape what may look like inescapable. Even God can use a person, even like Nathan, a man of God. The Bible is full of references to many counsels, to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are godly, who can really have you and your interest in their heart and see God for you. And now Nathan even boldly saying, let me advise you how you can escape even death. How serious is that? To escape death. So that is why when we talked with people, and so godly people especially, let us have our ears open, our hearts open as well. God uses ordinary people to help us, to channel us in the right path, in the right direction. But of course, who can? That is my question. Who can do that? Who can advise us in such a way that we will divert, really, or we will escape dangers, or we will make wise decisions? Who? Nathan. And why Nathan? Nathan is a man of God who chose to fear God and serve him and deliver his messages even to a king who is powerful and who would not fear to do that. When King David fell into sin with this lady, Bathsheba, he went to him and confronted him, and he told him like a history. You see, and that someone who has many sheep and then went after someone's wife when he has everything. And the rebuke from God to David was just amazing. God reminded David of his goodness and kindness to him, how he has saved him, and he gave him everything. If that was too little, he was going even to do more. And yet here you have sinned, not only by taking someone's wife, but even having him murdered. You see, that is why I said, like, really, if there is a title for the kings, it would be grace to grace. Grace to grace. Here this man has received grace. He was forgiven. And now always we will see a reference to my covenant with my servant David. Always. Everything that will happen good to all his children and children will be for the sake of David. So grace upon grace. But this man, Nathan, he's a man of God and a man who didn't side with the wrong and with people who are opportunistic, but he feared God. And he was able to bring an advice that was going to prevail and bring blessings to these people. That is one of the things that I needed to bring to your attention. But not everybody, because people will have their own interest. And they may advise you to make wrong decision just so that their interest is served. But if we truly fear God, we are to hear God and see and discern whether this is going to bring glory to God or not. And these men are amazing. And one of them is Benaiah. This man I like so much as I have been reading this text. It's just amazing. One of the groups. One of these people is just an incredible man. So, Nathan, we need Nathan in our lives. We need Nathan, a man of God. Benaiah is one of the guys. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. So now, the shepherd went in and told the king, and king said, no, I want to make an oath again. With you, your son is going to be the king. My lord, the king, he was told, the eyes of all Israel are on you to learn from you who will sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him. Well, I got another point to make as well. Who is Bathsheba? Bathsheba. This lady, she fell into sin. Of course, she was led into that not under her will. But now his son, who is really born after Absalom, now is going to be the king. And is a son of a woman that the Bible calls the wife of Uriah. Where do we find that? We find that in Matthew chapter 1, isn't it? Genealogy of Jesus. To see even Jesus coming from this line. A history that is full of really trouble. It's not a noble background. You see, here you're supposed to be, your father is murdered and your wife is taken by a king who was not faithful to God and to his nation. And now even this king is going to come. And Jesus is coming from that line. Is it not that grace of God? And there will be another example also I will use here. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. That's verse 6, Matthew 1:6. Solomon here, the line of Jesus. Solomon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. So we see God's grace in this. If I have other examples in the gospel, in the Bible, the another example would be Gideon, chapter 6. Gideon is coming from Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. And Gideon himself, when the Lord was calling him to deliver Israel, he had low self-esteem. He said this to the Lord God Almighty. This is what he says in verse 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. How can I do that? Well, it's not by might, not by power. It's not by how small you are and you have great low self-esteem. God can take the weakest of all and use him or her for the blessings of his own people. And we have seen in verse 34 how this man was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord, verse 34, came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. He became a mighty man of valor. And then he rescued Israel. So this is what he was saying to himself. He's the least and the weakest. Well, what we see here in this story is our very weak and vulnerable people. This is ailing king. Weak. And yet now this son also, whose life was in danger, because actually Nathan said, let me counsel you, let me advise you, so that you save yourself, you save your own life and the life of your son, Solomon. Because Adonijah will murder him, definitely. And they will escape. So this is very important that we take note of this. That this history is a history where God is using people who are ordinary, people who are not great in themselves, but they are great in God's hand. And God is going to fulfill his purposes through these ones. One more example. We see also in the book of Judges, chapter 11, this man, Jephthah, also he was really a vulnerable man. He was a son of another woman among other wives, polygamy, children of polygamy. And I can relate to this because I come in a land that is full of polygamy. And today it is easy that we can be the reproach of the whole world because of that realities. Well, Jephthah was like that, was coming from that background. And so that the eyes of all nations will not be upon King David, will be upon the God of Israel, will be upon Jesus Christ. Because he who is filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, who is saved, will be an instrument in the hand of God to bring glory to God and to bring blessings to God's people. So lest anyone boast about his origins or his money or his knowledge, his education or anything, is just the Lord himself. Well, Jephthah, chapter 11 of Judges, tells us of this man. You can read the history if you go home and you can have really good time to read this. Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. He was a son of a prostitute. And yet when Israel were under occupations and threat of other nations, his brothers who hated him and rejected him and sent him away, they said, you will not inherit with our father because you are a son of a prostitute. You go away. And now they want to go up after him because God has chosen him to be the man who will deliver his own people. And also in verse 29, the Bible says this, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah or Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, if you give the Ammonites into my hands. You see, that was a foolish thing he did, but God gave over. Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, again like Gideon, isn't it? So our needs is to fix our eyes on Jesus. And maybe our backgrounds may look really not that great, but in God is so great and powerful. So now what I will leave with you is these things. The background of these people are so weak and so they are needy. Their situation, they don't look like promising. You see, Solomon here, his brother Absalom, got himself into trouble. and got killed. You see? And he himself also, his mother was a wife of someone who was killed. But because of God's grace, and she's a weak lady, she's just like, by mercy, just like appealing to the king, then my son be a king. Well, and we have a Nathan, and we need an advisor who is from God to help us see, because we are not independent in our own self. We have also the counsel of God's people, and also we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be given wisdom. So now the process is that the things will change, and Solomon is going to become the king. So that my encouragement to you today, instead of putting your eyes on something else, like these people, their eyes were on David. And yet David also is appealing to God, and Nathan here, man of God, and we see this man, I love his how he finished. This man by name Benaiah. Benaiah is an incredible. I want to finish with him. So these are this group of people. They are amazing. Benaiah, son of Joiada, verse 36, answered the king, because the king made a vow, and it's looking like it's going to work. Because if we read through to from verse 32, King David said, call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophets, and Benaiah son of Joiada. When they came before the king, he said to them, take your Lord's servants with you, and set Solomon, my son, on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet. Anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, long live King Solomon. Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaiah, son of Joiada, answered the king, amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord, the king, so declare it. As the Lord was with my Lord, the king David, so may he be with Solomon to make his throne even greater than the throne of my king, my Lord King David. What are amazing things. This man is not afraid even to claim that even the throne of Solomon be greater than the throne of King David. He's a man of God. He's free, isn't it? He's not afraid to do that. Something many of us will find so difficult to do in our own days, isn't it? But this man, to know that his man, his heart is after God. And that is why King David mentioned him to be among the people who will see to it that the transition is proper. He's a man of integrity, and his name will come up again and again. And so Nathan, Benaiah, and Zadok, these men, they did inside with Adonijah. How we need to be like these men, who will discern and take the side of the truth against the false, even if the things are promising. Benaiah, this man, he was not afraid to pray this great prayer. So the eyes of all Israel, may our eyes all be upon Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us everything we need, has opened up heaven for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be in the will of God and to feed upon his word and to know his promises. That is why we were praying for our friends. Jim and I, we had a long talk with your friend the other day. And yeah, and Caitlin was sitting over there, and she was just like really very gentle and very nice lady. We didn't get to talk to her, but Jim had really a long talk with her. What was his name? Felix. Yeah, it was amazing. So that is why we pray, because we have a God who can answer our prayers. And tonight, this sister, I want to leave with you. Though the eyes of Israel were upon David, but let our eyes be upon our God, who makes no mistakes, and he will see to it that all his plans come true. All the things he has promised us will come forth. Let us hold fast to him and trust him and not have shortcuts. Thank you for your testimony. We will be praying with you. Ben, isn't it? Yeah, brother. So it's just a very challenging to all of us not to cut corners, but to be willing also, and then to be open, and so that we can join together and pray. And I urge all of us in our private prayers to pray for Ben. So I just want to leave this with you, the transition of power here. This is going to be important. This kingdom is not based on falsehood. It's proper. The transition is so amazing. You see, even we can look to the transition in our lives also. They will be smooth by God's grace. Because all of us, we are at crossroads at some stages, isn't it? So all of us, as I look across, so we are really through stages of life. And maybe we need great events, like even the kingdom to be established, so to happen in our lives. And God is so faithful. He is so sovereign. And he will see to it that if we are keeping our hearts pure, wanting to do the right thing, and wanting to honor him, and not even just to honor King David, because this man, Benaiah, he was a man who was just seeing the kingdom of God. He looks to the God of Israel, and to see all his plans being fulfilled, and to proclaim that even the throne of Solomon will be greater. And this is the man who is going to build an altar or a temple for God, to God. So let us be encouraged. We are called to be God's people. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And so it is by grace. Doesn't matter your background. So we have seen here in the history of Gideon and Jephthah, you can be the very one that can be a blessing to many people, even to nations. You see, we don't have often many prime ministers, isn't it? We don't have many presidents. You see, just it's one president, it's one prime minister. You see, it's one king, it's one prophet, it's one Benaiah, it's one Zadok. Those whose hearts are with God and are filled with all the desire to bring glory to God. So may God grant us grace to be a people like that. Even if our backgrounds look like really, it's laughable. Well, let us not be ashamed. Like Jephthah, he said, he was a son of a prostitute. Son of a prostitute. And Gideon was lamenting the fact that he was coming from a very small clan and the weakest of all tribes of Israel. He said that his clan. Well, with God, he's a mighty man of valor, isn't it? So maybe I emphasize this a lot. And so I pray that God will give us grace and humility to see his ways being fulfilled in our lives. And even in the things we do, if we are truly instruments in his hand. So let us not just think about ourselves. Let us just think about God. And not to rely on our own righteousness, but righteousness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. For all have sinned, you see, and have fallen short of God's glory. Let us sing, and then I will pray.